Thank you.
Blog Talk Radio.
Development Institute, where we are blessed to be a blessing. You can reach us at 313 583
97.39. Teresa Docks is going to deliver the word. You stay tuned. Thank you.
I want to say to you today, rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, somebody. Come on now. Your environment is predicated on your praise. Somebody say hallelujah. Create an atmosphere that's conducive to the Spirit of the Lord. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Come on, that's all you got? Is that all you have? Come on, give it up. Give it up. If you was at that football game, if you was at that basketball game, you would have said, go Lions, but I want you to say, go Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Put a praise on it. Put a praise on it, somebody. Hallelujah. I know you've been through some things this week. I know you dealt with some situations, but I'm trying to tell you that you are ordered by the Lord to put a praise on it. I don't hear you. I don't hear you. Come on, come on, come on, come on. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we need to rejoice and be glad in it. Yes, they lied on you. Yes, you didn't get the job. Yes, your car stopped. Yes, you had to deal with some family issues. Yes, your check didn't go through. Yes, your bill's not paid. But I want to tell you that this is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice. Somebody rejoice. Somebody rejoice. God looking for a praise. God looking for a praiser in spite of your situation. God wants to empower you for victory, and it is based on your praise. Come on. If you put a praise on it, you confuse the enemy. If you put a praise on it, you confuse the enemy. If you give God the glory, I tell you, he will rain down an overflow of blessings upon you. If you humble yourself behind the cross, if you humble yourself and you begin to delight yourself in the Lord, he said, if you delight yourself in him, he will give you the desires of your heart. So I just say, this is the day the Lord has made. Is everything working together for my good? I say yes and amen. See it happening. Receive it. Amen. So that means no more complaining. That means no more doubting. That means only shouting. Amen. Shout for the Lord, somebody. Amen. Somebody, somebody, somebody. Come on. We can confuse the enemy. For we know that this is what the world calls Halloween. Halloween, where they celebrate. Listen, where they celebrate, and they have even confused, caused the saints to be confused. It's called Halloween. I want you to do the research, and we're not going to go into it, but I want to encourage all of the listeners and all of the believers, all of the saints, to study the root of that tree. Go all the way to the root. And find the origin of Halloween. Amen. Follow Jesus. not the pagan holidays. I want to encourage you to do your research, to study, to show yourself approved so that you may be able to rightfully divide the word of God so you'll know the truth. Glory to God, and the truth not only make you free, but it'll set you free. Amen. And whom the Son set free is free indeed. Amen. Amen. No more slavery, no more chains, and we're no longer bound. Well, I want to thank Tyrell for the introduction, and truly may the blessings of the Lord rest upon him and keep him rich in the things of God. Amen, amen. Well, I want you to get your Bibles out because I know you've been researching all week in the Word. I know that you've been going deep and you have been studying because you understand that truth is in the Word of God. Amen. And I'm going to encourage you to turn to John. Glory to God. We're coming from John 15, chapter 15. Hallelujah. See, when you get into the Word, it doesn't matter when you deal with situations. Why? Because you are encouraged and you're strengthened in the Word of God. You're strengthened. When the enemy throw darts, you're ready, right? You're ready because those darts are going to come. But you have to have that shield. Amen. What does the shield do? It strengthens you and it causes a ricochet effect. When the darts come, that shield will block those darts, and guess what? They will not hurt you. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, Father, we just thank you for this time with you, Lord God, and we ask you in the name of Jesus, Father, that you would hear our prayers. God, that you would answer our prayers, that you will cause our minds to be alert. You will cause our ears to hear, our eyes to see, Lord God. And when we open our mouth, then we will speak the word of God, the word of truth. God, anything that's not like you, we render it to you right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that you've already taken care of it. Father, we ask you to lead, guide, and direct us so that we may be used for your glory. In the mighty master's wonderful name of Jesus, let everybody say amen. Amen, amen, amen. I get excited because I understand when I'm able to get into the word of God, I invite him in. Have you invited him in today? Have you invited him in today? I want you to remember now, he said he won't dwell in an unclean temple. So we have to walk in forgiveness in order for him to dwell with us. He said in his word, if we do not forgive, it's an injunction. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Divine injunctions, spiritual injunctions. Amen. If the word says, if I don't forgive, that God won't forgive me. And the word says that if I don't forgive, he will not. Listen to this. He will not hear nor answer my prayer. See, my prayer life is my relationship. Prayer life is my communication with God. My prayer life is when God, I talk to him, hallelujah, and he talks to me. So he literally telling me that if I don't forgive others, that he's not going to listen to my prayers. He's not going to conversate with me. He's not going to answer my prayers. So how important is forgiveness? How important is it to forgive others? It's just as important to forgive yourself. Amen. go into the Word of God. I know by now you have opened your Bibles and you have John chapter 15. And we're going to read verse 1. We're going to start right there. Amen. Glory to God. Because we know the Word of God is His character, His attributes, and it's all about Him. Amen. Listen what the Word of God says. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. I'm reading from the NIV. We have to be like a tree. He said He's going to cut off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He going to prune it. He's going to go through some things. Amen. So that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me also. Remain in you. So I can remain in you. He said, no branch can bear fruit by itself. See, you thought you was all that. No branch can bear fruit by itself. We need Jesus. It must remain in me. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Here he go again. I am the vine. I'm the master. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that's thrown away and wither. And such branches are picked up and thrown in the fire and burned. I didn't see it happen. If you remain in me and my word remain in you, listen to this. There, back to that prayer language, that prayer conversation. He said, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Whew, glory to God. That's an injunction. That's a spiritual injunction. That's a divine injunction. We don't have to question any part of that reading because He made it plain. He made it plain. Even the blind can see. Even the lame can walk. Even the deaf can hear. If you embrace this spiritual injunction, I'm telling you, God is good. He's faithful. We're of His word. It's going to perform what it was sent out to do. So whenever we fight in battles, use the word of God. You fight with the word. Because after you put it out there, God will do the work. Amen, somebody. Glory to God. So let's talk about what is a divine injunction. What is it? Well, let's see what the New Testament says right here in John 15. I am the true vine. See, the New Testament is full of divine injunctions. And they're uttered for specific purposes. See, they're supernatural. They are literally supernatural commands that we need to obey, need to be obeyed. Why do we need to obey these divine injunctions? Because they are for specific goals in the lives of humanity. See, they are eternal. They're holy in nature. And they also have I like to say, a heavenly goal. So these injunctions are to perform spiritual purposes in the lives of the people of God, in the lives of believers. So we don't take it lightly when we are wrapped up with a divine injunction. You know, sometimes the Lord will put a conviction in your spirit. So maybe the devil been acting up through a loved one, through a family member, and all of a sudden you got this assignment to bring correction. Why? Because you have that divine injunction of the word inside of you. So when things happen, you get this righteous indignation upon you to make it right. Why? Because there's been a spiritual deposit in your spirit called a supernatural command. That's called a divine injunction. What does the Bible say about divine injunctions? Being that a divine injunction is, it causes sustainability. See, a divine injunction will have you grounded. It will have you, I like to say, sustainable, where you can be developed. It was already there. You can't teach them. You can't show them. They know it. They got it. So when it's like that, what did Jesus do? He shook the dust. So let's be open. Let's be able to learn. Let's be able to be corrected. Let's be able to be empowered for victory with these divine injunctions. It calls spiritual growth. Amen? And these divine injunctions, they always are going to line up with the word of God. So we say glory to God. So what does the Bible say? And Micah, excuse me, Micah chapter, let's go to the sixth chapter. And we're going to go to verse 8. And I'll, if you'd like to go to it, you can, but I'll read it for you. Glory to God. The Bible says, he has told you, oh man, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. So he've already told us. He have already made it plain. That's why it's important that we read the word of God, that we study the word of God, that we include him in our day, that we have a prayer life problem, and we don't research the solution, it's going to always be what? A problem. But we have to be problem solver. So we read in the scriptures where he said, those that are in him, he's going to prune us. He's going to fix it. He's going to make it right. He's going to take off all that dead weight. He's going to take off all the things that so easily beset us. He's going to prune us. Does it feel good to be pruned? Absolutely not. Because he's going to cut away some stuff. He's going to cut to the white meat. Amen. See, sometimes you can be cut and you'll just bleed. And then you got other times to the white meat. Okay, somebody. What does the Bible say about divine injunction? Listen what he says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17. See, my Bible scholars, you're flipping. Keep flipping. And then eventually you'll learn every book. You'll learn where it's at. Because why? Because you're studying. And when you study, you can rightfully divide the word of God. Listen what it says. The Bible says, learn. What does that tell you? What does it tell me? It tells me that it's not something that's going to naturally come. I have to learn to make righteous decisions and righteous choices. Learn to do good. He said, seek justice. Look out. Look for justice. You know, don't go around saying, well, yeah, you know, it's going to always be like that. No. Seek justice. Correct oppression. When something brings oppression, the Bible says correct it. As the believers, we don't sit around and allow oppression and lies to rule. We have to bring correction. The Bible says bring justice to the fatherless and please the widow cause. Look out, when people are fatherless, stand up. Bring justice for them. Stand up for the widows. Plead their cause. See, these are just the right thing to do. They are what the Bible says. They're divine injunctions. It's what we do as the people of God. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 7, the Bible says all the commissioners of the kingdom, the perfect and the satraps, the high officials and the governors have consulted together. King should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that everyone who make a petition to any God, which is the Lord G God, or make a petition to man beside you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. That was an injunction. So they're saying that if any man make a petition to any god beside the king, that they was going to be thrown in jail. That was an injunction. So when an injunction is established in the world, hold fast to it. Or you get locked up. You break the law. See what happened. So it's equivalent to what God is saying about divine injunctions. When you break the laws of God, there's consequences. Amen. So I want to encourage you today to be open to learn, to be open to show God's love, to be open to bear good fruit, to be open, to be open. Listen to this one. King Darius, when he signed a document, guess what it was? It was an injunction. When you see the president signing a document, they're signing something that's going to be made into law. They're injunctions. And let me share this with you so that you'll know. When Obama left office, he signed an injunction for freedom of speech not to be taken away. Why? Because in the past, in different countries, Russia, you know, the United Kingdom, the British prime minister, they were attacking freedom of speech. They were attacking the news media. Things that were going on would not be exposed. So they would attack authors that wrote books. that had facts to establish things that were done illegal, things that were done against the people. So these things were beginning to be attacked. And even when Martin Luther King made his speeches, he made reference to injunctions, illegal injunctions, because they wanted to shut up the African Americans. This has been going on for years, to shut up their oppression. They didn't want them to be heard. So if you can shut up the mouth of the press, then you can cover up your sin. So when you get a leadership that want to shut up the mouth of freedom of speech, then you're attacking the spiritual right, each and every individual. Because if we choose to quote the scriptures and they want to shut our mouths up, it's the same efforts against the press. So those become illegal injunctions upon God's people. So we have to know which battle to pick, which battle to fight. Amen. So Martin Luther King said, yet though they slay me, he said, we're going to keep pressing forward. We're not going to riot the Capitol. We're not going to try to kill leadership. But we're going to stand up and we're going to stand firm. And we won't die. We multiply. So I say to you today, walk in divine spiritual injunctions. Not your way, but God's way. Not what you think is right to yourself. Because sometimes we could be too full of ourselves and God can't get anything in there because we got it going on. We have established our own ways. We have established our own thoughts. But God won't change. Listen what it says in Daniel. Let me read Daniel's 12. Then they approached, 6 and 12. Then they approached and spoke before the king about the king's injunction. Did you not sign an injunction that any man who make a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days is to be cast into the lion's den? They was fronting them off. I could assume those were the know-it-alls. Guess what the king said? Because he was the king. He told him this statement is true. And he said it's according to the law of Mede and the Persians. And guess what else he said? He said, which may not be revoked. In other words, you want to go to jail or you want to go home? You want to be locked up or you want to go home? So he stood steadfast, unmovable. And then they answered and they spoke before the king. They said, Daniel, who is the one in exile, see, there they go. They're going to send him somewhere. He did it. They told him he didn't pay any attention to you, king. See, don't be around messy people. Don't try to satisfy people to fit in. Because sometimes people are just messy. Why? Because they make their own injunctions. They have established their own ways. And sometimes we compromise to please mess. I just want to encourage you. You create your own environment. I don't care. Be a sister, mother, brother, father, uncle, auntie. No matter who it is. you have to understand that when a king make an injunction, you're obligated to hold steadfast to that injunction. So here they go telling him, Daniel, he didn't even follow your injunction. He knew what he wanted to do. He keep making petitions 3 times a day. What you going to do about that, old king? Does that sound like somebody you know? Or do that sound like somebody you are? Don't be that person. Don't be that person. Follow the king's injunction. I'm talking about the King of Kings. So in other words, they went and told on Daniel. They say he's doing it 3 times a day. Then verse 15 talk about, and these men came to agreement to the king and said to the king, recognize, O king, that this is the law, and no injunction or statute which the king established may be changed. What they were really saying is, go get him. See, here we go again. But God. In 2 Thessalonians 3 and 12, I want to be specific with the scriptures so you know how to go to them. Because it's not our ways, but it's his ways and it's his word. Listen what it says. Here we go with another injunction. To persons of that sort, our injunction or our commands by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ is that they are to work quietly and eat their own honestly earned bread. You got to take care of your own business. You got to do what God called you to do. And you got to stay and be unassuming. Be unassuming. Earn your own way. Practice what you preach. Fruit of the Spirit be upon you. What does that mean? You need to produce fruit. You're always talking, I'm not going to say you per se, but we talk about being a Christian, but we bear no fruit. The fruit that we bear is not of Christ. We can't tell whose side you're on. You know, you say you love God, but you hate each other. I'm not talking about you per se. I'm talking about divine injunctions. See, sometimes when God want to purge you, you have to know you're being purged. See, I was reading in the scripture about he's the true vine, right? And he going to purge and prune those that remain in him. And why do he do that? So that you can bear fruit. So that you can bear fruit of God. And neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in Christ. And if you're not remaining in him, see, sometimes we compromise to please people. But you got to hold fast to these divine injunctions. What does God say about it? So we need to know what he says. Guess what we have to do? We have to open up the word of God. See, the Greek word for he prune, it means he cleans. He'll clean us up. So that means that we don't run to the bottle. I need some wine. I need some liquor. It's quicker. I need some smoke. I need a joint. I need a cigarette. I need, I think they call it vape, something like that. It looked like smoke. We don't have to run to that. I need a pill because that's my dose. We have to run to Christ and stop pointing the finger. Because if you're going to point at yourself and look at you, mirror, mirror, on the wall. I want you to look in the mirror, and I want you to examine oneself. See, and if we all do that, oh, my God. See, when he said, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener, see, the Father going to clean up the garden. He going to take the weeds out. He going to edge up the lawn. He going to cut it up. He going to fertilize it. He going to make it plain so that when you walk in that garden, you be like, woo, wow. That tree look good over there. That gift look good on you because you're bearing fruit. See, we can talk a good game. We can preach the gospel, the word. But how do we know that we remain in Christ? We bear fruit. He said, I'm the vine, and you're the branches. What does that mean? See, when you look at a tree, them branches fall. Them leaves wither. But guess what, people of God? The word of God will remain forever. So if the branch fall off the tree, guess what? The tree going to remain. And you know, my brother, he take those branches and he put them in the fireplace and he burn them up. And guess what? The Bible says that those branches are thrown away and they're going to wither. And he said, and some branches are picked up and they thrown into the fire and burned. When I say, Derek, can you light a fire? He go out there and get branches, throw them in the fireplace. And guess what happened? They burn. But you don't have to worry about that if you remain in Christ. He said, and let my word remain in you. See, there's some benefits in these spiritual injunctions because he said, if you let my word remain in you, he said, ask whatever you wish. Well, let me fix it up for you.
Because what you want is God's word, and you're only going to ask what's in the word. And then when you ask,
he said, it will be done. So these spiritual injunctions are going to cause the blessings of the Lord to make us rich. Are we talking about financially rich? Mm-mm. It'll come because all of these things will be added. But we're talking about spiritually rich. Because when you're spiritually rich, your fruit is going to remain. You're already clean because the word has been spoken to you. Here we go. We're talking about spiritual injunctions. I want to encourage you. See, the word says it in Hebrews chapter 11, 23. By faith, Moses, being born, was hid for 3 months by his parents, because they saw the child beautiful. They did not fear the injunction of the king. Can't fear the injunction of the world when we stand on divine injunctions. We got to stand on spiritual injunctions. We got to stand on what God says about it. The Bible say that his commandment we believe with personal faith and confidence in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we seek love. We seek the best for one another, just as he commanded us. So when you listen to someone talk and they're not seeking the best for others, you can discern what tree that is. You know what tree it is. Because we talked about God being the gardener. Amen. And he put the trees in the garden. What tree are you? What's coming out your mouth? Are you laboring to be rich? Are you laboring to be seen? Are you laboring to be established? Or are you laboring for the King? See, when you labor for God, then you see others become established in Christ. Is it easy? Absolutely not. Why wouldn't it be easy? Because if it was easy, it wouldn't take any effort. God wants you to put effort in becoming a son of the King. God won't change. And he wants us to look in the mirror. And when we're being corrected, when we're being chastised, we don't need to fight. All we need to do is bear fruit. If someone come to you in love to correct you, rejoice. Rejoice. Because God sent them to make us better. It's nothing but a G thing, baby. It's a God thing. It's not about us. It's all about him. So God is the gardener, I like to say he the vine dresser. Amen. He dresses up the vine. He cut off the branches. If you ain't with it, your branch gonna get cut, you gonna get clipped, and you gonna get burned. So he cut off the branches that don't bear fruit. And those that bear fruit, he gives them permission to prune so that they will bear much fruit. It's always more. So he'll give you permission to bear much fruit. So if we're going to profess thy mouth that we're followers of Jesus Christ, then we have to be connected to Jesus Christ. We have to be connected to his followers. Not people that have a zeal of God, because people that have a zeal of God is not according to knowledge. It's just a zeal, and they don't produce fruit. That's how you know. You know, some today they come and want what church offer. But they don't want to be connected to the church. Some want the blessings of Jesus, but they don't want to be connected to the things that Jesus taught. They want to be secret Christians, you know, convenient Christians, or at least distant Christians. So Jesus, he clearly stated that if we do not want what's on that vine, it's impossible to bear the fruit because you are not part of the life source of the vine. So in our quest to be politically correct, people of God, find him in your prayer life. Go deeper in prayer. Spend time with him. And see how long you can stay with him. If you do 10 minutes a day, do 15 tomorrow. You do 15 a day, do 20 the next day. Stay there. Dwell with him. Suck with him. If you're not willing to have a relationship with God, we have this ideal that it's a soft little conversation and you're done. No. Stay there. And develop a divine injunction that you may bear fruit. So that means we can't do what we want to do, people of God. We can't say what we want to say because somebody is always watching us. And if you can't influence people to be closer, be quiet. And my mom always say, if you don't have nothing good to say, go to bed. If you don't have nothing good to say, be quiet. So I question you today. Are you connected? Are you? Are you bearing much fruit? We're talking about life on the vine. Come on, somebody. Give God a hand clap of praise. Give him a hand clap of praise. Because I'm telling you, when you begin to get empowered for victory, you are operating in divine injunctions. For this is the day that the Lord has made. And in order to rejoice and be glad in it, you have to live every moment embracing divine injunctions. Hallelujah, somebody. I get excited because I understand there's always more. You're never going to arrive. You're never going to completely get there in this stinky flesh. But you're striving for it. You're pushing for it. Every day gets sweeter with Jesus. And guess what? The world is not going to like it. And neither are they going to like you. They're going to hate you. Why? Because you produce change. Because you don't agree. I ask God right now to open up every spiritual eye that's on this line. Everyone that listens in archives. Everyone that's on the internet. I want you to lift your hands up and receive this eye-opening blessing. God's going to open the eyes of your understanding so that you may be able to see what he's doing. And that we will not complain, that we will only rejoice. So when you see somebody complaining, hit them in the mouth with the word. Hallelujah. See? 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 Everybody want to be violent. Hit them in the mouth with the word. God bless everyone. I want you to get your communion out because I understand this divine injunction. He said, as much as you do it in remembrance of me. And while you're getting that ready, I'm going to ask Elder to come forth. Hallelujah. He's going to do the salvation call. But if you don't know Jesus and the pardon of your sin, he's just that smooth. He'll take you right in. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen. We're talking about spiritual injunction. That is so beautiful. When God gives you a spiritual injunction, it's like a court order requiring you to cease doing what you're doing. Stop doing what you're doing. A spiritual injunction. It's like a restraining order. Amen. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. That is a good lesson, spiritual injunction. And while we know that there is that this call to salvation is for everyone to trust in God, trust through the proclamation of his gospel, we know that God also extends an effectual call to those he foreknew and elect and predestined. For every child of God, there's a time when the Holy Spirit draws him or her personally to faith in Christ, resulting in belief of a repentance that leads to salvation. See, God calls us by grace. God calls us by grace. By his calling, it's not only to salvation, it's also to a life of serving him and our fellow believers. See, if we believe, we just only shall confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. My brothers and sisters, my beloved, please find a good Bible church. Come to Christ. Surrender all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. There's no greater profession to have other than bringing people to Christ. In order for someone to come to Christ, we have to be an example. You know, they might want to follow mess. I mean, no one should want to follow mess. Amen. Because we got work to do. We're seeking eternal life so we can start living. Amen. When we leave here, we can start living eternal life. We don't have to worry about things anymore. Glory to God. I get excited. I know you have your communion. And I know that either way it goes, when you leave here, you're going to have eternal life. But you have to know which eternal life you're going to have. Who is it going to be with? Amen. Glory to God. Well, we ask you to forgive those that have despitefully used you right now. We ask you to ask forgiveness. And it's just that simple. Because this is the day the Lord has made. And he gave us the opportunity to get it right. We don't have to worry about yesterday. We don't even have to worry about the last few minutes, few seconds. Then from this day on, he said, as much as you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. What do we remember about him? His suffering, his sacrifice, his sanctification, his stand. We do it in remembrance of all of that so that we may be like him. So, Father, I ask you right now that you will convert what we have prepared, this natural element, that you would convert it by faith. Now it's a spiritual element. This is the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us, as he was broken, let us be broken. Let us eat the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For the blood was shed so that we may be free. Why are we still in bondage? Let us be free. Let us be free. Let's drink together the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Drink, hallelujah, and drink all of it. Glory to God. You know that spiritual injunction right there? Now you have the grafted injunction of Holy Communion in your body. The Lord may live there so that he may stay there and you can do mighty works with much fruit. Amen. Glory to God, people of God. Keep it moving. Guess why? Because this is a move. As we go forward, find out what God called you to do. Through the ministry of the kingdom. Come on, somebody. Don't just live life trying to find yourself. Everything is available. And God's going to do just what he said he's going to do. Amen, amen. Glory to God. Well, I want you to triumph this week. I want you to triumph in everything that you say. Hide yourself behind the cross. You just need to be heard talking about spiritual injunctions. So, Father, we thank you for this time with you. And we ask you in the name of Jesus, Father, that everyone on this line know you. Everyone on this line have been helped, having heard the word of God. So, Father, I ask you to cause much fruit to be in our lives so that we can be used to the fullness. And when you call us to be with you, Father, our work will be completed. And our assignment will be done. So in Jesus' name, lead, guide, and direct us. Until we meet again, we'll see you on Wednesday. We're here every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. You can join in. More word, more fruit. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Go out and help somebody today. Amen. Go and help somebody. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them you love them. Tell them that you care. Don't criticize today. Don't get hit in the mouth with the word. Amen. God bless everyone. Have a blessed rest of your evening, your rest of your day. Fellowship with family. And even call someone up and encourage them in God. God bless you all. Thank you for joining.
Rejoice and be glad.